introduce yourself around the table.
I'm John Corcoran from Calgary.
How do you do?
Tom Ellsworth from Edmonton.
How do you do?
I'm Cody from Winnipeg.
Rick Holland from Seattle.
Now Vincent for Virginia.
Norval Rose from Denver.
Doug Brody, Syracuse. We've done it before. It's good to see you.
John Tibbetts, Kansas City. How are you?
So you're going to go over to Zoetrope and buy a...
I heard that there was a...
conversation?
Yeah, I just heard about that. I guess he needs money or something.
Well, he doesn't need the money. I mean, they need the money.
Is Zoetrope going belly up now?
Well, it's been bought.
Taken over by a fellow from Calgary, I'm going back.
Oil money?
Investment
mostly.
Sure. What did you see in this project that made you say yes, that you wanted to do it?
Well, I thought it was a good script. And I hadn't worked with children before. I thought it would be a real challenge for me to do something with this kind of emotional content to it. And working with what I thought at the time would be... maybe something less than professional actors. And it turns out that was kind of unfair judgment on my part. This is all done in my own head. Because they turned out to be real good, excellent actors. And it was really kind of a nice, refreshing experience for me.
When you say you wanted to, or you thought you'd be working with less than professional actors, is it? Is the background to that that you were tired of working with professional actors?
No, I guess I had some kind of generalized idea in my head of what kid actors were like. That they would be difficult and they would not be, you know, not have their lines. That kind of thing. It just wasn't the case at all. That they were probably more prepared than a lot of other actors that I've worked with. So it was really a nice experience.
What was it like making a film in Tunisia? Were there any particular challenges or obstacles or benefits?
Well, I don't think it's more difficult than any place else. Tarak has done a number of films there, and he had it super organized. It was as organized and with as much support from a producer that, of any film that I've ever been on. Tarak started, you know, as a driver in films in Tunisia, and so he knows the film business inside out. So in terms of Tunisia being, you know, pro or con, I felt it was a real asset to the film because it's a fairly, it's not the most original story in the world. I mean, you know, it's somewhat familiar, so that the locale really added something to it.
What did you shoot so much of that?
We shot it in Spain and North Africa and Yuma. Yeah. Big battle scene was done in Yuma. I had had a fall on a horse.
Yes.
So I had to shut down. So the big battle scene wasn't shot until like 3 or 4 months later.
On this film, the producer was telling us that there were two endings shot and tried out. Are you glad they used the ending that they did, or did you have any qualms about that, not going with the original ending?
Yeah, I was glad that they did what they did. In terms of an original ending, they were both shot on the same day, so there hasn't been any going back and reshooting.
I just meant original by the original screenplay from the film that's remade.
Oh, I see. I never saw that film, so most of us agreed, I think, on the film that to let the boy die in the end was maybe just too heavy. I understand that the director has qualms with that, but I've never been involved in all this, the cutting of the film, so I don't know.
Were you involved? Did they, are you going to cliche, seek your input in which ending to use?
No. No, they just called me and said they were ready to do the publicity.
You mentioned never been involved with the cutting of films. An old colleague, an old friend of yours, Dustin Hoffman, has pushed so hard to get into that cutting room. That's the most important thing for him at this point, with Tootsie pretty much out of control. Is there any desire on your part to do that kind of thing, or not really?
Well, not as an actor, but if I get to the point where I'm directing, certainly, then I would be involved. I don't know that as an actor you can, at least I can't get that involved. Unless I have some kind of authority in terms of how a film is going to be shot or cut, I can't. It's impossible for me to push myself into that situation. Dusty's very good at that.
Are you working towards directors?
Yeah.
Is there something in the works?
Oh, there's always. You know, I've never met an actor who didn't have a project. have a film, you know, production company and all that kind of stuff.
Do
everybody
have a film production company?
Well, you have this thing that your lawyer makes up. It costs you $300, you know, and you're incorporated and you're suddenly your film company. Not really, but that's... Most actors are paid through a film company.
You say that you don't, at least at this point, as an actor, get involved in the cutting and the editing and those kinds of editorial or aesthetic decisions, which means I would guess that you have to have going into and all through the project ultimate faith in the director, in his or her choice of, like on a crucial scene like the ending here, how do you get to know a director in the first place? You've worked with Jerry before, but how do you get to know a director in the first place to know that you can have that faith that his decision is going to be the proper one for the movie?
Well, I think that you never really know how much faith you have in somebody until you're working with them and you get a sense of their taste and what they're about. I guess the process of acting and being involved in films is one that is so subjective that it's really tough to be able to stand off and say, is this the best thing for the film or is it the best thing for me? You know, is this shot, can we do without that? And take me out of that scene. That's very tough. So, and that's one of the reasons why I don't get involved in it, is that I don't feel that I'm capable of doing that without having done 3 or 4 months of pre-production work and really know what the film is trying to say, as opposed to what I, as an actor, am trying to say in the film. Very tough. In Uncommon Valor, this film we did in Bangkok, there was a scene in it that I really loved. It was one of the few things that I kind of liked that I did in the film, and I really asked them, because the Paramount wanted to cut the scene. And I called the director a couple times and talked to him about it, and he wanted the scene left in also. And it's one of those things where it wouldn't have mattered one way or another in terms of the film's success if the scene was in there or not. They finally left it in, so I was kind of pleased.
Which scene?
What scene?
Oh, it was a little scene just before we go into battle where I do the little Shakespeare thing. And I kind of liked it because it was kind of a quiet moment before all this shooting and carrying on. It was interesting that the director, after we had done that, says, you did that quite well. And he's from the English theater, you know, having done a lot of Shakespeare. And I told him, man, I did that for all I was worth. I mean, that's my best Shakespeare.
Are you generally very, very difficult or hard on yourself as you watch a role being shaped?
I can't watch it. I mean, I do once in a while, but I can't be objective about what I'm doing, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. I just see a guy up there. I'm starting to have a double chin and hair receding and that kind of thing. In terms of the acting, it's totally subjective.
Are there those around you that you would seek out, however, if you needed an opinion on how things are going?
No. I don't really need other people's opinion about my acting, because I know that after I've done a scene, whether or not it's good or not for me. terms of the film working, yeah, you listen to certain people that you may value or know that who will be honest with you. But the final, the bottom line is that you can hear anything you want in this business. If you want to hear that you're terrific, you can find the people who will tell you that. And if you want to hear that you're rotten, you can do that too. And there's also the middle ground, people who are indifferent. So you, bottom line is you just really have to rely on yourself.
I once said that your problems relaxing when you were doing films that you became very heavily involved in characterization. That was, I remember you telling me this about 10 years ago. Has it changed?
No.
I think you said you weren't a lot of fun when you were doing a pitch.
Yeah. I think that's true. I think once you decide that once you're involved in a project, an acting project, that you start at that moment being as a performance, that you kind of become consumed with it. And I have never been able to live a kind of a normal, happy life while I'm working as an actor. It kind of consumes me. And not that the character takes over or I become the character. I wouldn't pretend to do that. But in terms of concentration, it's really tough. So that you do become difficult on the set or when things don't happen the way you'd like them to happen. But I don't think it's unique to me.
It's probably still love flying and racing.
Yeah, I still do all right.
Is that a way of unwinding?
It's a way of kind of fulfilling some of the dreams I had as a kid of doing all the adventuresome kinds of things.
You said you'd never done a picture. You wanted to do this picture in a way about children. You've never done anything about children. And you were also worried about working with kid actors. So the idea that they might not be what you're after. Working with Thomas, what was it like? I mean, was he always prepared? What he was doing?
Yeah, he's probably more prepared than I was. I don't come on a set very well prepared, and I do that on purpose. Ideally, I read a script and then set it aside for 2 or 3 months and let it kind of work on me and kind of stew. And probably read the role once more before I actually do it, and with just a vague sense of what it is I'm going to do, and then try to pick out of the atmosphere when I'm working on the set the kind of what I feel is the important elements in the character and what makes a scene work. So that every actor works differently, of course. And when you're at a certain position in your career, there's a time when you have to know all the lines cold, and you have to come in super prepared. And kids, you know, are wherever they are, so that they can't really afford not to be prepared. Where an actor like myself can maybe take other liberties, but it, for me, it creates a kind of a sense of danger and spontaneity that I think is important for me.
Do you watch the finished films?
I've seen them, yeah.
Immediately after, or do you give them a couple of years?
No, I've seen this film, and I'm pleased with it. There are some films that I've never seen.
On purpose?
Yeah.
I
didn't have to see them. I was there.
Does that say it? I mean,
yeah.
Does it happen though? Are there films? This would come to mind for me, like the film All Night Long, where I have the impression that there must have been a really nice idea, a real nice concept for that movie. It wasn't just, you know, let's do it and make money and no, it's good.
Yeah.
I had the feeling that everybody said, this is going to be a damn good little different movie. And somehow, between the inception and the conception, something went wrong.
Well, that was a film that was full of trouble. And it was just unlucky. I felt good about that film because the part had been written for me. And I liked the idea of doing a comedy, and we just had so many things that happened that you couldn't really put your finger on why they happened. Two or three people were fired, and a cinematographer and two actors. We had an actor strike in the middle of the film, which we had to shut down and just wait. I think it was 2 months. So it was tough, real tough. I don't know that the film would have been any different, though. That's interesting that it might have been just the same film.
Well, some of us really liked it.
Yeah, it was different.
Of all the, and the opportunity here is present in battle. Of all the finished product films you have seen, Gene, which, if you were a film critic, if you can, sitting out there and looking at the glossary of your work, what's the best?
The best performance? Well, I've always said in the past that I thought my best performance was Scarecrow. But the interesting thing about that is probably one of the easiest performances for me because it was a kind of a flamboyant character and had wonderful kind of fun scenes to do. Conversation, I suppose, would be a performance that one could look to and say, you know, that's a performance I'm proud of, except that when you're working with someone like Francis Coppola, it isn't always possible to discern where your performance leaves off and where his begins. He's such a strong director. French Connection the same way. Billy Friedkin, that's really his film. That was his concept. His idea for that character was very, very strongly embedded in what I did. I would have to go back probably to Bonnie and Clyde to say that there was moments in there that I felt real strong about and that I felt real contribution. But, you know, they're kind of moments that maybe other people wouldn't pay attention to. It's kind of it's a strange thing, the kinds of things that actors like.
In comparison with all of those kinds of roles, the father is a misunderstood. It's so much now more subdued, more interior. Do you find in doing that kind of a role that maybe there were some surprises in it for you, or had you not felt initially comfortable with the idea of doing a character that was so strongly interior like that, instead of being more flamboyant?
Well, I have a feeling probably I'm more energy-oriented actor, and that roles like Misunderstood and Conversation, for instance, are roles where the characters are somewhat subdued that are maybe more difficult for me than other kinds of roles. But I still enjoy that. I still enjoy doing that kind of role. And, you know, would continue to look for roles like that. I think if you find actors who traditionally have some kind of power or juice in order to do the things that they want to, they will almost always select the kind of dark interior roles. Because in our work in early days of acting, that's kind of the way we work. That's the way we learn to act, is from interior kind of our darkest kinds of feelings. So that we almost always harken back to that kind of role because that's the most satisfying. Regardless of how it turns out, it's still the most satisfying personally.
Did you have a deja vu at all doing this picture with I Never Sang for My Father?
No, I didn't liken it at all to that. And I suppose there are similarities, but I didn't really. I suppose because I never Sang for My Father was a picture that I didn't like a lot. Although a lot of people did, a lot of people saw much more in the performance than I felt was there. I thought the words, the prose in it were much stronger than the performance and the film itself.
Of all the films you've done, which with public reception or critical reaction, which has surprised you the most? You said you didn't like that film particularly, but a lot of other people have. Which of your films has surprised you the most in terms of public reception?
Well, I suppose Bonnie and Clyde was the biggest surprise of all. You know, at that point, I had done, I think, two other films or three, but only small roles. And still had the idea, because I felt I was a New York actor, that films were something that I did to come out and steal the money or whatever, and you go back
and
nobody ever see them, and you go back to do your work. And when Bonnie and Clyde came out, and it was such a giant hit, you know, it was really stunning, because I'd had such a good time on that film also, that all the actors were fun to work with, and we all knew each other, and it was just, it was kind of a very strange happening.
Was that kind of a pivot point for you?
Oh, yeah.
Did you just play the voice of a computer or something?
No, I was the voice of God in...
oh, yes.
In,
Two of a Kind.
Two of a Kind, yeah.
Have you seen that?
No.
Did you rush out and steal the money and go back?
No, I did it as a favor for Joe Wazan, the producer, president of Fox. I had worked with him in a film that I also didn't see called Prime Cut.
Personally, are you a more subdued or more flamboyant personality off the set?
I don't know. I think of myself as being more subdued, and yet I do a lot of things that are somewhat outgoing, flamboyant, or whatever. So I suppose
I'm out of control to be flying and all those other things too.
Yeah, I suppose that I have a lot of both things in me.
Is there any of you racing somewhere in the near future?
In Sebring, next week.
Next week. What's up? Yeah, exactly. What are you driving?
The Mazda. Valvoline Special.
What's your
commercial
next film?
Plug in here.
Do you know?
The next film? No, I don't have a film right now. If you hear of something, let me know.
Do you have more fun with the parts that are, or that you feel are particularly dissimilar to yourself?
Yeah.
Like you mentioned the flamboyant versus the more subdued.
Yeah, I think most those actors do. They like the kind of things that are away from them so they have something to work on. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that struck me about Uncommon Valor is that I really enjoyed the movie. I thought what seemed to me the writing was fairly routine in it, but the character you created, just the looks you get on your face, that it was a fully rounded human being, and I felt it was far in excess to anything you had to work with in your writing. How do you go about? Do you consciously work at breathing full life into a character like that?
Sometimes in a film that is underwritten or is maybe done as an action film, it's sometimes easier to bring that kind of thing into it than it is to if the writing is like terrific, especially in a film like that is an action film. Because you have a lot of leeway. You have, you know, people are, that's why they hire you. They hire you because they feel you can breathe some life into it. And it's kind of a open sesame, really, because they're dying to have you bring something to it. So you have a little more leeway sometimes.
Would you be possibly even, because of that, reluctant to get involved in a film where the writing was so overwhelming that it may overwhelm the character?
Yeah, I think you're talking about classics then. You know, and most American actors like myself, we just don't have the background in classics to come above that kind of material. That material would be, you know, overpowering for me.
Why didn't you take a credit on Young Frankenstein?
Well, because I wasn't paid for it, and I did it as a favor, and I didn't know it was going to be as eloquent as it was.
I mean,
it's a great scene. Eloquent.
You said you did that as a favor, and you did the voice of God as a favor. I mean, what kind
of
I
like doing that kind of thing. I guess it harkens back to the old days in New York where when I got a little job on television for one day, it was $300 or whatever, it was $100. And that was like a highlight of my month or whatever, you know, or 2 months or 3 months or whenever they came. And so doing little cameo kinds of things are kind of harking back to the old days for me as an actor.
Is there anything, you know, as well, I mean, making up, you know, behind wigs and beards or, you know, just doing a voice?
I hate makeup. It's strange that I cannot stand makeup of any kind. I guess I don't like to be fussed with that much. So, no, there isn't anything in that. That was very painful for me. Young Frankenstein, and in Superman when I had to wear a bald cap at times.
I heard that all your stuff that's in 1 and 2 was shot at the same time.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. In about 5 weeks.
Because it seemed to me that they were very different performances.
Yeah, it looks like that. That's
from what
I understand.
Directors, too. Richard Donner versus...
No, they were both done by Donner.
Yeah, but then the rest of
the rest
2
of
was done by...
Yeah, by Richard Lester. But I never worked with Lester at all.
Is this the first time you worked with Rip Torn?
No, I've worked with him 3 times. We started off Broadway together in a play called Chaparral, which was my first play. He had been around for a while at that point. I think he'd already been on Broadway in Cat on a Hot Tin. And then we worked together doing a Route 66 in Florida.
Right. You bring up Route 66. Compared to most of what's on TV today, that was pretty good stuff, that and Defenders. And do you ever think about television of that quality as compared to what TV is doing today?
Well, I don't watch much TV today other than sports. I guess it's pretty bad.
When I was
starting in New York, there was still live television. U.S. Steel Hour and Armstrong and Playhouse 90. And that was exciting. That was really exciting.
Well, but even some of the film shows like Naked City, I mean, they're really decent shows.
Yeah, I did all those shows.
Sure, oh, sure.
Brenner, Nurses.
I mean, like actors like yourself are starting out now. They don't have Brenner. They don't have Defenders or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what helped you to get your start. It must put the young actors who want to be serious actors at a disadvantage because...
Well, I don't know, because I think that a lot of stuff that's being done on television is light and is comedy. And comedy is as tough to do, if not tougher than drama, because you got to be many times much more sharp. So it's probably still good training, Dan. You don't have to take the rap because a film is bad, you know, because it's done on television. That's really the producer's area.
Is your home now on the West Coast?
Yeah.
Do you have those moments where you wish to get back to the East to rejuvenate?
Yeah. I do, and then I go back, you know, in the middle of the winter and get a sinus attack or whatever, and kind of glad to get back, although I am going in the fall and possibly this summer to do a play.
Well, what are you doing?
I hope to do a new play by a friend of mine named George Firth.
Really?
Wrote Twigs and Company.
Yeah.
And he's written a new play, and it's terrific.
On Broadway?
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time you were on the board?
About 10 years.
Mm. Is it scary going on? Yeah.
Well, yeah, to some degree, but I like the idea of doing it.
I have to be the nasty person and